Chapter 7, Text 26, Purport Continued. Certainly the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is not perishable. He is just like the sun, and Maya is like a cloud. In the material world we can see that there is the sun, and that there are clouds and different stars and planets. The clouds may cover all these in the sky temporarily, but this covering is only apparent to our limited vision. The sun, moon, and stars are not actually covered. Similarly, Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord. By his internal potency, he is not manifest to the less intelligent class of men. As it is stated in the third verse of this chapter, out of millions and millions of men, some try to become perfect in this human form of life, and out of thousands and thousands of such perfected men, hardly one can understand what Lord Krishna is. Even if one is perfected by realization of impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma, he cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, without being in Krishna consciousness. Text 27. Icha dvesha samutena dvandamohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O scion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees, who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate, can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons, symptomatically, dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, "This is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife." These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish, and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 28. Yeshang tvandakatang papam jananang punyakarmanam te dvandamohani mukta bhajante mam jadhavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees, for in the association of great devotees one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahatsevang dwaramahu vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dwarang yoshitang sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Text 29. Jada madana mokshaya mama shutti yatanti ye te brahmatan vidu kritsnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Purport. Birth, death, old age, and diseases affect this material body, but not the spiritual body. There is no birth, death, old age, and disease for the spiritual body, so one who attains a spiritual body becomes one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service is really liberated. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman, spirit soul. This Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service, as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord achieve their respective goals, and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they are fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord in his supreme planet. Even the less intelligent Brahman-realized persons cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, mam ashutya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman, because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna, and thus they are factually Brahman. Those who are engaged in worshipping the form or archa of the Lord, or who are engaged in meditation on the Lord simply for liberation from material bondage, also know, by the grace of the Lord, the purports of Brahman, Adibhuta, etc., as explained by the Lord in the next chapter. Text 30. Sadi bhutari daivam mam sadi yagyam chaye vidu prayana kale pichamam devidu yukta chetasa. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Purport. Persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of death, such a Krishna-conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. This seventh chapter particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna-conscious person. The beginning of Krishna-consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna-conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord and, by his grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridhavrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. This seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of knowledge of the Absolute. Chapter 8. Attaining the Supreme. Text 1. Arjuna huvacha king tam brahma kim adhyatmam king kama purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidaivim kim uchyate. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, fruitive activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the supreme authority able to give definitive answers. Text 2. Adiyagya katam kotra dehismin madhusudana prayana kale chakatam gehosi niyatatma bhi. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudana? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Purport. Lord of Sacrifice may refer to either Indra or Vishnu. Vishnu is the chief of the primal demigods, including Brahma and Shiva, and Indra is the chief of the administrative demigods. Both Indra and Vishnu are worshipped by yajna performances. But here Arjuna asks, who is actually the Lord of yajna, sacrifice, and how the Lord is residing within the body of the living entity? Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudana, so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Now, the word prayana kale in this verse is very significant, because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at that final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted, and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Kulashekar, a great devotee, prays, My dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy, and it is better that I die immediately so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet. The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulashekar says to the Lord, "Now my mind is undisturbed, and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately, thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I have to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen, because at that time the bodily functions will be disrupted, my throat will be choked up, and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately." Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Text 3. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Aksharam Brahma Paramam Sabhavo Dhyatvamuchyate Bhutabhavo Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Sangita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruitive activities." Purport. Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing, and its constitution is not changed at any time. But beyond Brahman, there is Parabrahman. Brahman refers to the living entity, and Parabrahman refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The constitutional position of the living entity is different from the position he takes in the material world. In material consciousness, his nature is to try to be the lord of matter. But in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, his position is to serve the Supreme. When the living entity is in material consciousness, he has to take on various bodies in the material world. That is called karma, or varied creation by the force of material consciousness. In Vedic literature, the living entity is called Jivatma and Brahman, but he is never called Parabrahman. The living entity, Jivatma, takes different positions. Sometimes he merges into the dark material nature and identifies himself with matter, and sometimes he identifies himself with the superior spiritual nature. Therefore, he is called the Supreme Lord's marginal energy. According to his identification with material or spiritual nature, he receives a material or spiritual body. In material nature, he may take a body from any of the 8,400,000 species of life. But in spiritual nature, he has only one body. In material nature, he is manifested sometimes as a man, demigod, animal, beast, bird, etc., according to his karma. To attain material heavenly planets and enjoy their facilities, he sometimes performs sacrifices, yajna. But when his merit is exhausted, he returns to earth again in the form of a man. This process is called karma. The Chandogya Upanishad describes the Vedic sacrificial process. On the sacrificial altar, five kinds of offerings are made into five kinds of fire. The five kinds of fire are conceived of as the heavenly planets, clouds, the earth, man and woman. And the five kinds of sacrificial offerings are faith, the enjoyer on the moon, rain, grains, and semen. In the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, the living entity descends to earth in the form of rain, then takes on the form of grains, and the grains are eaten by man and transformed into semen, which impregnates a woman, and thus the living entity once again attains the human form to perform sacrifice and so repeat the same cycle. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. The Krishna conscious person, however, avoids such sacrifices. He takes directly to Krishna consciousness and thereby prepares himself to return to Godhead. Impersonalist commentators on the Bhagavad Gita unreasonably assume that Brahman takes the form of Jiva in the material world, and to substantiate this, they refer to chapter 15, verse 7 of the Gita. But in this verse, the Lord also speaks of the living entity as an eternal fragment of myself. The fragment of God, the living entity, may fall down into the material world, but the Supreme Lord, Achyuta, never falls down. Therefore, this assumption that the Supreme Brahman assumes the form of Jiva is not acceptable. It is important to remember that in Vedic literature, Brahman, the living entity, is distinguished from Parabrahman, the Supreme Lord. Text 4. Adibhutam chadobhava purushaschari daivatam adiyagyohamevatra dehe dehabratamvara. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called adiyagya, the Lord of Sacrifice. Purport. The physical nature is constantly changing. Material bodies generally pass through 6 stages. They are born, they grow, they remain for some duration, they produce some byproducts, they dwindle, and then they vanish. This physical nature is called adibhuta. It is created at a certain point and will be annihilated at a certain point. The conception of the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods and their different planets, is called adidaivata. And present in the body, along with the individual soul, is the Supersoul, a plenary representation of Lord Krishna. The Supersoul is called the Paramatma, or Adiyagya, and is situated in the heart. The word Eva is particularly important in the context of this verse, because by this word, the Lord stresses that the Paramatma is not different from Him. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seated beside the individual soul, is the witness of the individual soul's activities, and is the source of the soul's various types of consciousness. The Supersoul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witnesses his activities. The functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord automatically become clarified for the pure Krishna-conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the Lord, called Adidaivata, is contemplated by the neophyte who cannot approach the Supreme Lord in his manifestation as Supersoul. The neophyte is advised to contemplate the universal form, or Virat Purusha, whose legs are considered the lower planets, whose eyes are considered the sun and moon, and whose head is considered the upper planetary system. Text 5. Andhakale chamamevah smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra sanshayah. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, taro iva sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Text 6. Yang yang vapi smarang bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tangtame vaiti konteya sadatan bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, That state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who, at the end of his life, quits his body thinking of Krishna, attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death, so this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Text 7. Antasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmarayudnyacha mayarpitam mano buddhir mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties of engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Text 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanigamina padamang purushang divyam yati partanu chintayan. He who meditates on me as the supreme personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the supreme enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the supreme enjoyer is the supreme personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Supersoul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly, and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Text 9. Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anorani Yansamanusmarejo Savasidata Bhamachinta Rupam Adityavanam Tamasak Parastat. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Purport. The process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy and is factually stated herein. First of all, the Lord is Purusha, a person. We think of the person Rama and the person Krishna. And whether one thinks of Rama or of Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kavi, that is, he knows past, present, and future, and therefore knows everything. He is the oldest personality because he is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. He is smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair, but the Lord is so inconceivably small that he enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore, he is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, he can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the Supersoul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and is maintaining everything. By him, all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and systems of galaxies. The word achintya, inconceivable, is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking jurisdiction, and is therefore called inconceivable, achintya. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world and yet is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achintya means that which is beyond this material world, that which our argument, logic, and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understanding. Text 10. Prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvo madhye pranam avishya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly stated that at the time of death, the mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those practiced in yoga, it is recommended that they raise the life force between the eyebrows to the Agya Chakra. The practice of Shat Chakra Yoga, involving meditation on the six chakras, is suggested here. A pure devotee does not practice such yoga, but because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, at death he can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his grace. This is explained in verse 14. The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practice of yoga, whether Shat Chakra Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, one cannot come to this transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of Bhakti Yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life. Text 11. Yarakshanam vedivido vadanti vishandiyan yatayo vitaraga yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padang sangrahena pravakshye. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna has recommended to Arjuna the practice of Shatchakra Yoga, in which one places the air of life between the eyebrows. Taking it for granted that Arjuna might not know how to practice Shatchakra Yoga, the Lord explains the process in the following verses. The Lord says that Brahman, although one without a second, has various manifestations and features. Especially for the impersonalists, the Akshara or Omkar, the syllable Om, is identical with Brahman. Krishna here explains the impersonal Brahman into which the renounced order of sages enter. In the Vedic system of knowledge, students, from the very beginning, are taught to vibrate Om and learn of the ultimate impersonal Brahman by living with the spiritual master in complete celibacy. In this way, they realize two of Brahman's features. This practice is very essential for the student's advancement in spiritual life. But at the moment, such brahmachari, unmarried celibate, life is not at all possible. The social construction of the world has changed so much that there is no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the beginning of student life. Throughout the world, there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to the scriptural injunctions for this age of Kali, that in this age no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 12. Sarvadvarani Sangyamyaha Manoridi Nirudhyacha Murnyadhyatmanak Pranam Astito Yoga Dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Purport. To practice yoga, as suggested here, one first has to close the doors of all sense enjoyment. This practice is called pratyahara, or withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. The sense organs for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, should be fully controlled and should not be allowed to engage in self-gratification. In this way, the mind focuses on the supersoul and the heart, and the life force is raised to the top of the head. In the sixth chapter, this process is described in detail. But as mentioned before, this practice is not practical in this age. The best process is Krishna consciousness. If one is always able to fix his mind on Krishna in devotional service, it is very easy for him to remain in an undisturbed transcendental trance or in samadhi. Text 13. Om ityekaksharam brahmaho vyaharan namanusmaram yapriyati chajandeham sayati paramangatim. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Purport. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets according to the mode of his practice. the devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet, Goloka Vrindavan. For the personalists, there are also innumerable other planets, known as Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual sky, whereas the impersonalists remain in the Brahma Jyoti. Text 14.
Ananicheta satatam yomang smalati nityasa tasyaham sulabhakpata nitya yuktasya yoginaha.
For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Hatha Yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananyacheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a Jnana Yogi, Karma Yogi, or Hatha Yogi has his own selfish interests, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to Him, He is easy to attain. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of His various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Nrsimha, and a devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, He is especially inclined toward those who always serve Him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 1-23, Yamae vaisha vinute te nalabhyas tasyaisha atma vivinute tanung svam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as He is. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tadam vibuddhi yogam tam. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain Him in His spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words satatam and nityasha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon Him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the bhakti yogis are engaged in five different ways. 1. Shanta bhakta, engaged in devotional service in neutrality. 2. Dasya bhakta, engaged in devotional service as servant. 3. Sakya bhakta, engaged as friend. 4. Vatsalya bhakta, engaged as parent. And 5. Madhurya bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord, and so for him the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna-conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Text 15. Mamupetya punarjanma dukkalayam ashashvatam napnavante mahatmano sansiddhim padamangata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta and Akshara and Padamagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination of the Mahatmas, or great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees, and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness, and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls.